there, gang. Welcome to Absolutely Necessary. Don't know if we got a good show planned for you today, but it sure is a show. I am your host, Logan Tracy. Joining me, as always, Jackson and Jacob. What's up, boys?
Nothing much.
Anything to air before we start the show? Any concerns? Anything you want to talk about?
I'd just like to mention again my promise from last show. I will not be shut down by the negative critics. Viewers, I loved you guys. I'll be out here for you guys.
Anyway, I'd like to address that because I'd like to establish a new rule on this show, which is not if your point is bad, because we're going to make plenty of bad points on this show, but if you decide to be a piece of garbage about your point, we're going to shut you up. Little penalty box. We'll decide the difference. We'll decide how long.
Okay, let's begin the show. Okay.
But that's a new rule. You both agree to it?
Okay. I agree to it. All right. For sure.
All right, so new our rule. First article today, we'll be referencing an ESPN article by Bill Barnwell that was posted today. Just talking about the NFL midseason takeaways, and we're going to discuss some of these things. So the first point he makes is that some teams he thinks are underimproving this year.
Underimproving?
Yes, this first half of this year, and that they are going to be better the second half of the year. So he references the Niners, the 49ers, saying that they have actually played well, especially lately on defense and with Nick Mullins out here, and they don't turn the ball over a lot. And then he also said the Giants would be better the second half of the season. Jackson, do you think the Giants will be better the second half of the season?
Looking at what's happening with the Giants, I don't see immediate improvement unless there's going to be an easier schedule for them. Because they've had Eli Manning, they've had Odell Beckham Jr. this entire season, and they've had their same team, and they didn't do much during free agency. So I could just see them doing the exact same thing they did in the first half, with no surprise.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think it can get any worse for this Giants team. But they have a lot of talent. For a team that's only 1-7, they've got somebody who's proven to be one of the best playmakers in football in Saquon Barkley. They've got a great receiver in Odell Beckham. Their defense is improving somewhat. And if you look at who they're facing at the end of the season, they've got San Francisco, I know a team you mentioned, but that's a winnable game. They've got Tampa Bay, a team I know you love, but it's a winnable game. And they've got a few others on there, like you could see them beating Dallas, Indianapolis, even Tennessee if Tennessee doesn't show out. So there's definitely a chance that they improve.
So who has a better record, the Niners or the Giants for the rest of the season? I would say the Niners would have a better record for the rest of the season. In the second half of the season, who ends up with a better record, the Niners or the Giants? I would go with the Niners.
I would also go with the Niners. I know I pointed them out as winnable games, but I don't know if they're going to win those games.
Yeah, the Giants, I can't trust the Giants anymore.
Plus, 49ers do have a bit of an easier schedule. Mm-hmm. They will obviously play another game against Los Angeles, but they'll have Denver, they'll have Tampa Bay, and New York, as we mentioned, and those are three winnable games. So
two other teams he mentions are the Bills and the Broncos. With the Bills, he points out that they have a really easy slate going forward and that they've actually forced the league's most turnovers, fumbles, that's my bad, the most fumbles in the league,
and they have not recovered.
They forced 23 and they've recovered 7 of them. Mm-hmm. So that's a very low amount of recoveries on fumbles. That's a lot of wasted opportunities and kind of a stat I didn't really pay attention to before. So who would you think, Bills or Broncos, have a better second half of the season? I would go with the Broncos.
Broncos.
I would also go with the Broncos. But they've been close against some really good teams, and you're going to make the case that a couple of those games are going to go their way.
I would say the Broncos are going to challenge for the wild card in the second
half.
I would not
go that far.
Oh, I would say the Broncos are going to challenge for the wild card.
I love my team, and I'd rather us be bad and suck for the duck. I like Herbert. I kind of want Herbert.
Okay,
Herbert's the only quarterback I want.
That's what you want, but I think the players are going to win games because Keenum's out there to win, and I think the offense focused around Cortland Sutton will open it up.
I think a lot of players are out there to save their jobs, but I don't think Vance Joseph's lost that team. I don't think anybody wants to play for him anymore. And personally, I'm starting to have concerns about the front office. Like, I don't know what we're doing. We're just, the Broncos are currently in a spot where they're just playing for mediocrity. What are we, were we playing for 8-8? Are we playing for 7-9?
We're playing to make the playoffs.
But we're not going to make the playoffs.
Okay, let's see here. So they have Royce Freeman, Darian Stewart, Deshaun Hamilton, Bradley Roby all returning after the bye. Royce Freeman is the key to their backfield and the future of their backfield. I think that will help them a lot. And him and Phil...
Don't diss Phil Lindsay like
him
that.
And Phil... But let me finish. Him and Philip Lindsay, which I was about to say before you interrupted me, are maybe one of the best, I would say one of the best tandems in the league out there. Not gonna say, the Saints have a better one, and there's a couple other teams that I would say do have a better tandem, but I would say that that's a young backfield right there between those two that's very promising for the next 5 years. I would say they're going to explode in the second half of the season, and offense around Cortland Sutton and Emmanuel Sanders, I actually find that a lot better than other people may.
Case Keenum in that Broncos backfield, they're not getting any protection right now. Case Keenum has been sacked 24 times this year. The Broncos offense, Freeman's getting stopped somewhat. Like, he's getting these good carries, but he's not, he doesn't have a great average, like, yards per carry. We're getting decent yards, but it's because we have a two-headed monster. And now we have Ron Leary's out for the season. Garrett Bowles hasn't proven to be productive. Matt Paradis just got hurt. I don't think this offensive line is going to be any kind of helpful in terms of trying to establish a run game or a passing game.
I think with the balance that they'll have coming out, and I think part of the reason why is because Demaryius Thomas isn't a very good route runner. I would say Demaryius Thomas relies a lot on his ability to make those hard catches, and that's why he's such a good player. And that's why I think he'll fit in the Texans' offense, because he'll make those downfield catches. But I would say that he needs to, in this offense, I think Sutton is much more like a better fit as a number two wide receiver, and then Sanders moves up. Those two players are quick players who will let Keenum get those 10-yard, 14-yard routes out and let them run and make playmaking. And I'd say now they have their balanced system back. I think the Broncos will contend for a wild card spot in the second half of this season.
I'm not saying they don't have the talent to be a balanced offense. I just don't think they're going to utilize it.
Okay.
I think they can. Jackson, what do you think?
I would have to agree with Logan here, unfortunately. I mean, the Denver Broncos up to this point have been underachieving, in my estimation, with Royce Freeman coming... coming out of the draft, Royce Freeman was seen as a top 10 running back to most analysts. Like, he was a big deal. And he was going to try to change this Denver offense for the better. And
he has.
I mean, he has, to an extent. But he hasn't been to the standards that people were saying. Like, you're saying, like, his yards per carry, his efficiency hasn't been up there. And that, I think, would have helped the Denver Broncos a lot, having him. Because that would open the passing game a lot with Case Keenum. The offensive line is crumbling as we see Case Keenum being just pulverized in the backfield. Demaryius Thomas would be a loss, but I mean, Cortland Sutton may be able to do that this year, but I just don't see, I don't see him putting the immediate impact of raising the Denver Broncos.
Cortland Sutton will have a better second half of the season than Demaryius Thomas first half of this season.
Okay.
Yep.
But will it be enough to bring the Broncos to a wild card spot?
The Broncos will have the balance to contend for a wild card spot.
They're
balanced enough. I said
contend.
I did not say get a wild card spot. I said they'd be in the mix. When you throw teams in the hunt, the Broncos team name will be there like 7-9 of finish or something. I don't know. It's not. I'm just saying they'll contend. They're not going to be a 3-whatever team. They're going to win games in the second half of the season.
As a fan, and I'm just going to make this last point before we move on. As a fan of any team, this just so happens to be my team, I'm just of the belief that you should not be shooting for 7-9, 8-8. You should be always trying to build a team that can contend for conference championships, division championships, Super Bowls.
Oh, they
try. You're not doing that.
They try.
You're not doing your job. Case Keenum, not a championship winning quarterback. Case Keenum is a game manager.
Okay, but
the Broncos
built this team not to go 7-9, but that's
and it's going 7-9.
Cool, and they'll be in the hunt for a wild card spot because that's where we'll be at this year.
Anyway.
I don't know. I can't rule that out. Okay, so the second point he makes is about the Baltimore Ravens, which we have discussed before with the Lamar Jackson Joe Flacco discussion. He thinks the Ravens need more offensive output to help with the help this season. As we talked about, their great defense. I think a point before that we didn't really get to, that might be a counterpoint to starting Lamar Jackson, is number one, they don't face great defensive teams. I think they said the 23rd, 27th, 30th, 31st, and 32nd in their next couple games. And then they just really haven't been spreading the ball deep like they usually do. And their completion percentage hasn't been very good deep. So John Brown coming back will give Flacco that deep threat. I'm of the opinion that they should start Lamar Jackson. But Bill Barnwell seems to be suggesting that if they don't do that, a suitable replacement would be to put Flacco in more situations where he can launch it down the field and spread the field open. I just think they should start Lamar Jackson. I just like to bring up that point. And then he talks about Miami and Washington Redskins, so Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins. Which one of those teams do you guys think will perform better in the second half? Because he says they both, it's very likely that they both will not keep up the pace. And he just brings up the fact that the games they've won have been by a little bit, and the Redskins offensive line is Redskins just have a lot of injuries overall, and Paul Richardson is hurt, and Miami seems like a team that could collapse at any minute here. So who has a better second half? I think the Redskins will have a better second half of the season. I do not think it is a fluke in Washington that they're playing that well. I think they built people, but the issue is it's how they respond from the injuries to Paul Richardson, Chris Thompson, those guys who kind of open the field, and then their offensive line's injured. Their offense is kind of dependent on opening those holes for those running backs to get through, and that opens up the game because they don't have a super talented wide receiver. I believe you mentioned Maurice Harris earlier, too.
Maurice Harris, I mentioned last one. I just kind of thought nobody was expecting him to have the week that he did have.
I think he will be forced into a bigger role. I think that was a good find because of Paul Richardson going the IR. So do you guys think Miami or Washington will have a better second half of the season?
Looking at the schedules, Miami's got a couple of easy teams on there in Indianapolis, and they play Buffalo twice down the stretch. That could be three easy wins. And then they play some fairly decent teams in Green Bay, Minnesota, New England, and then they have Jacksonville, I believe. And looking at Washington, Washington plays a lot of teams that are still trying to be competitive. There's not really a rollover game in there, except for maybe Tampa Bay. But I think just with the way the schedules are structured, they're both probably going to finish 8-8. Washington, they're never able to finish. I can't name the last time they were in the playoffs. Was it with Robert Griffin? Might have been with Robert
Yes,
Griffin.
It was with Robert Griffin.
Miami's 5-4, Washington's 5-3. I'm going to say they both end 8-8.
Okay. So I just like to bring up the sacks leaders in the NFL quick. Danielle Hunter leads the NFL with 11.5 sacks.
No need to brag.
I was not bragging. With Aaron Donald coming in second with 10, and Miles Garrett, Von Miller, and J.J. Watt each with 9, and Bradley Chubb with 8. Do you think Danielle Hunter will be able to keep this up at an NFL-leading pace? It was kind of interesting with Everson Griffin being kind of gone for a little bit. He kind of had to do the brunt of the work. And Everson Griffin is back now. Do you think that will help or hurt him?
I think he's going to slow down just from a standpoint of he's currently getting sacks at a unrealistic rate. It's going to slow down, and that's not any knock on his skill because Danielle Hunter is one of premier pass rushers in the NFL now. It's just it's going to slow down. Offensive lineman, he's going to run into a few that stop him. He's going to have a couple of fluky games where he doesn't get one because a quarterback's good at avoiding sacks. But I think he slows down, but I think he still has a great shot at leading the league in sacks by the end of the year.
Okay. I would say I think Danielle Hunter will keep the output. I think the return of Everson Griffin will help him by providing a threat on the other side. But I think you're right. It's an unrealistic pace at this point. But I think knowing he's there and he can contend for that thing will help him stay more motivated, especially since he's making a name for himself now. I mean, being on top of Aaron Donald, Miles Garrett, Von Miller, and J.J. Watt, being ahead of all those names, including Bradley Chubb, who was the number one pick and has been very good this season, actually.
I'm not happy with a lot that's coming out of Denver this year. But the duo of Von Miller and Bradley Chubb is going to be, in either next year or 2 years, the best pass rushing duo in the NFL.
Yeah, that's very possible. I just, like, that's an impressive list, even at halfway through the season. That's an impressive list to be in front of. I mean, all those guys are guys that are talked about on a daily basis as guys that can stop the run well, or just all around defensive guys. When you're going into a game and you're like, we need to watch out for this guy on defense because he's going to be coming after the quarterback. You need to block him. Let's put specific plays in to stop these guys, to chalk block them, to mess them up in any way. I think that's just really impressive that he's on top of that list.
I think we're just really lucky to really be in a time at the NFL in an era where there's a lot of great pass rushers. There's so many good mm-hmm. ones. Even people like Ziggy Ansah, who's been struggling with injuries, but is a great pass rusher and has been getting overlooked. Like, there's people, when you think of them, DeMarcus Lawrence is fantastic, but you probably don't even think of him when you think of premier pass rushers. Unless, you know, you see him and you're in the NFC East.
Yep. I think that's about it for that. I think Bill Barnwell goes on to mention two teams and two races in the AFC South and NFC North that he thinks will get a lot tighter and are kind of up for grabs. And he mentions one team that he thinks people are really sleeping on, and that would be the Indianapolis Colts. He thinks they have a pretty easy record for the rest of the season, and he thinks they have averaged a lot of points per game, and they've lost a lot of close games. I think this makes sense because I think Andrew Luck took some time. It seemed like he was really rusty at the start of the season, and he just getting back into it. I think it makes sense for people. No one's really talked about the Colts, but I think this is a team that could make a run. Realistically, they need some people to step up on offense because they got T.Y., but they don't have a bunch. Marlon Mack obviously needs to have some more output. He's done pretty well in a couple games here.
He's rushed for over 100 yards in his past two games and 89
yes.
the game.
He needs
that.
To continue to bring that output. I think the Colts have a viable shot at the wild card in the AFC South, and they could come back this season. Jackson, what do you think about that?
Yeah, like you said, Jacob, people don't see how efficient the Colts are in scoring. As their points that they've scored against opponents have been 231 compared to the opponents that's scoring against them, 213 only. And they're third place in their division. The Titans above them have been outscored by their opponents. So I think that seeing that outburst of offense that's coming out of Indianapolis is definitely going to be to their advantage. However, I would have to have a little bit more faith going forward in their defense, as that, like Logan said, they've been losing a lot of close games, and I think that's a little bit on the defensive side of things. If they can get those stops on third downs and get those really close, crucial fourth down plays at the end of the regulation or whatever, like, I think that will really help them close out the season. And they definitely will make a run, but to me, the Texans look really, really good right now.
Well, I would suggest the Colts would get a wild card spot. I do not see Houston slowing down anytime soon. Unless, like, Watson tears his ACL again or something, or is hurt for a couple
don't
games.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying that the way to stop this offense right now is for one of them to get hurt. And I think Demaryius Thomas is an excellent addition to replace Will Fuller. Now, with Will Fuller, they might be better, probably, because Will Fuller is just a beast out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say Demaryius Thomas is a fine replacement to put in there for Will Fuller.
Don't sleep on
them.
Kiki Kuti, though. Kiki Kuti is a good receiver.
That's true. Right.
It's a really cool name that I like saying. Kiki Kuti.
And the last thought I would say about the Colts is that it will be hard for a wild card spot with this AFC, how this is being shaped up, as the Bengals are showing their colors as a really good contender for the playoffs, mediocre-wise. Chargers are dominant right now. And of course, we have the Eagles and the Redskins both being very good teams. But
the Eagles and the Redskins are on the NFC.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. Sorry.
It's all right. We forgive you.
All right. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it will be hard for the Colts to come back from a 3-5 record.
So you don't think the Chargers will take their division?
Is it basically you're deciding between
the
Chargers
Chiefs.
Or Chiefs?
Yep.
Chargers or Chiefs? Who wins?
Chiefs.
Exactly.
I think
all think
that
the
was
Chargers
way closer than people.
Oh, we're not saying it's close, but I think we all think the Chiefs are going to end up winning that division. And even if the Chargers do, that's a wild card spot locked up. Yeah, so essentially, you're all these teams.
So the Colts are fighting against, like, the Bengals and some other teams there. I guess that's right. The other division that's up is the NFC North. And this division is looking for a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
Way too close to call. I would just say we can throw the Lions out. I don't think we need to talk about the Lions. I think they're probably out of the race.
I don't think you should dismiss the Lions.
The Lions are not going to win the NFC North.
But they could definitely make some noise.
Okay, yes, but
some people.
I want to talk about who's going to win it. So maybe, yeah, they can mess some people up and get in there, but let's talk about who's going to win it. So the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings all have a realistic shot. Who do you guys think will win that division?
I think, personally, that Minnesota is going to pull it out. That's just because Minnesota has really started to look like they're coming into their own as a team. Especially Adam Thielen has proven this year that he's potentially the best wide receiver in football right now. Kirk Cousins has started to look better. With Dalvin Cook returning, they're starting to get that run game back that Latavius Murray had given them for a little bit.
Do you think...
But started to slow down?
Apparently here, the Vikings switched from the third easiest schedule to the sixth toughest one for the rest of the season. And so they got four of their final seven games are Bears on the road, Packers at home, and they had to play the Patriots in Foxborough, and then they play against Seattle on a Monday night game. Do you think, like, how many of those games do you think they'll be able to bring home for the Vikings? How many games do you think the Vikings will have to win to take this division?
That's hard, because the Bears have a fairly difficult schedule going down the road, too. They'll play five division games. They get Minnesota and Detroit. They'll play them both twice, and they still have a game against Green Bay to play. I think those... When I said don't dismiss Detroit, I think it's just because those division games, they're always a scrum, no matter what division
you're
playing for. Yeah.
Oh, I think we can't discount the Packers either. It says the Packers flipped to the league's fifth easiest schedule.
And you can never dismiss a team led by Aaron Rodgers.
You are very correct
about
that.
Unless he breaks his collarbone.
Yes, that's very true.
Shout out to Danica Patrick.
I would say Vikings, but I would say the Packers will not be in this race. For the first time in a long time, the Packers will not be in this race at the end of the season. I think it will be the Bears and Vikings at the end of the season. And I think whichever team loses that conference race will get a wild card spot. Because I think it will be that close at the top of the division that whichever team loses will get a wild card spot. I just think the Bears and the Vikings will beat, for the rest of their games, will take out their divisional opponents, and it will be what they do head-to-head that matters the most.
When we made predictions a couple of shows ago for who was going to make the playoffs, if I'm remembering correctly, I had the Vikings winning and the Bears getting a wild card spot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stick with that prediction.
Yeah. And then one of our last points that Bill Barnwell made in his just this great article he had today is the Saints are not as good as people think. The Saints might not be safe on top of the NFC South. There's their point differential and the things they've done so far. He doesn't think their defense is as good as people may think, and they're vulnerable, and he actually has a lot of faith in the Panthers behind them. Obviously, they have Drew Brees, and Drew Brees is pretty close to league MVP at this point. He's been playing at an incredible rate. Mm. So you could say... So there's Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina. Who are you picking to win that division?
Oh, the Saints. I would go with the Saints 9 times out of 10. And that's not to discount a very talented Panthers team. And I've been very impressed by the way that Atlanta's recovered their season after all those injury issues they had. But if you just look at it from a talent standpoint, that defense, I think, is only going to get better. And they have probably the best offense in the league right now. It's either them or the Chiefs. Take your pick. And, excuse me, them, the Chiefs, or the Rams. I don't want to discount the Rams, a team who I think is still the best in football,
mm-hmm.
even after this weekend.
Same.
So the Panthers are only one game behind right now.
Right.
I say the Panthers take this division, and Saints will take the wild card easily. The Saints will take the wild card easily, but I think the Carolina Panthers and will take this division, I think. Atlanta is a team to watch just to play spoiler. I don't think they'll make it into the race. See, they'll something about something about me tells they'll make like they'll make a run later in this season, but I don't think they'll end up playing a factor in the playoffs. But they may take out some teams that people may perceive as better than them.
I'm hoping Jackson will agree with me on this point, but when you can ride momentum in the NFL, that's huge. That'll get you by some teams that you won't necessarily you're not necessarily more talented than. And Atlanta's got some easy teams. The next 2 weeks, they play a struggling Cleveland team and a Dallas team that nobody really knows what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could be huge. They win those two games. They don't necessarily pass the Panthers or the Saints, but they can really make it interesting for a wild card. I can easily see them winning their next 2 weeks, which would put them at 5 in a row, and I think probably in a wild card spot.
Right, and that also shows how competitive this NFC division is, truly. I mean, because the Saints, Panthers, both are, well, Panthers are one game behind the Saints right now. And the Saints both face the Panthers two more times before the season's over in weeks 15 and 17, I believe. So that could go either way to me. As we've said before, divisional games are full of passion and just, I don't know.
And like don't forget, Jacob said that the Tampa Bay would finish 10-6.
Right, so Tampa Bay might come up with some upsets against the Saints and the Panthers, but digressing there. I think I'm going to have to go with the Saints going with this division. I mean, I like...
Disgusting.
I know, I don't feel good about it, but the Panthers...
Shout out Michael Waddell.
Yeah, no. But I'm going to have to go with Saints getting the top of the... They're going to keep at this pace that they're going at. The Panthers are going to stay really close behind them, maybe even tie the record. I could see the Saints dropping one game, but I think the Saints are going to get tiebreaker and then win this division.
Okay, so Bill Barnwell mentions players he thinks are going to have a better second half or a worse second half. I'm just going to throw out some players and just say yay or nay. Yay if you think they're going to have a better half, or nay if you think they're going to have a worse half. Okay. So the first player is Julio Jones.
Yay!
Yay!
I would definitely agree with that. Julio Jones, he's the central focal point of their offense. I think he's going to be great in the second half. What about Patrick Mahomes?
Yay.
I don't know if it's going to get better. What would I say if I think he's going to just sustain the level he's at?
A.
I'll go Fonzie. A.
Okay, yep, his numbers are already pretty great, so...
He's almost at 3,000 yards already.
Maintaining that, Jackson thinks he's going to do better.
I mean, he's going to keep producing with that electrifying offense that they have in Kansas City.
Okay, but you said better
than
he had. Oh, geez. Well, yes. Patrick Mahomes locks up MVP for Jackson, yes. Obviously. Okay, well, we'll get to that. Blake Bortles.
He's literally at... dirt level right now. So.
I'm going to say yay, but that's because there's not much lower.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
This man is at the top of the anthill. He will be at the bottom of the anthill. He will be buried under the ground. He will no longer be the starting quarterback.
Did you just say that Blake Bortles was at the top of something?
Yes, an anthill.
How, okay.
Because that's his ego. Blake Bortles will not be the starting quarterback for this team.
But who is, though? Like, I don't see a liable option.
Cody Kessler will start for this team.
The punter.
Yep, it's the punter.
They're going to run fake punts every play, man.
You're kidding.
That's Cody Kessler will start a game in the second half of the season. Hot take alert.
Shut up.
Cody Kessler will start. Thank you.
He's going to start a game, but it's going to be out of desperation.
Okay, lukewarm take. Lukewarm. Cody Kessler will start.
Medium rare take.
Medium rare. Cody Kessler will start a game for the Jaguars. Don't pick up Blake Bortles in fantasy. He's awful.
You guys are ops.
Really? Why do you think that?
I don't think that...
Pick Cody Kessler up in fantasy? I wouldn't go that far with you, but yeah.
No, I'd say don't pick up Blake Bortles.
Yeah, don't pick up Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah.
Jackson, why do you think that?
Why do I think that Blake Bortles is a
why,
better quarterback
Why do you think
Cody
Kessler won't start a game? Why don't you think he won't start
a game? No, he will start a game, but it'll just be out of desperation.
Desperation? You think the Jaguars aren't going to make the playoffs?
No.
I don't think the Jaguars are going to make the playoffs.
I think Jaguars will make the playoffs.
With their defense, how they're playing right now?
I think the Jaguars will make the playoffs.
That's the reason why they made the playoffs
last year.
At the
hands of Cody
Kessler. You're absolutely insane.
If Cody Kessler starts a playoff game...
A lot of things are born out of insanity.
I don't know. I'll...
Cody Kessler.
I'll donate a pinky.
Man.
Oh, okay. You both owe me $50 if Cody Kessler leads the Jaguars to the playoffs.
No.
Okay.
Take those odds.
Actually, yeah.
No. You're saying yeah.
I didn't say I wouldn't pay you anything.
Oh, yeah, you did. For $150.
That's how a bet goes, Jacob.
I never responded that I would do anything. I said, you guys pay me.
No.
Okay, Alvin Kamara. Everyone expected him to go back down after Mark Ingram came back. So much for that. He almost had a better game when Mark Ingram came back. You guys think I would go?
I think we're going to Nay. I don't think he's going to have a better. I think that he'll digress a little bit.
But it won't be bad.
But he won't be bad, yeah. I'm just saying like he'll just at a lower production level.
Yeah, so he has 9 rushing scores on 111 attempts. Wow, and a 12 touchdown campaign so far. That's pretty good.
Saying nay doesn't mean we think he's going to have a bad
second
half.
Right, right.
I just think, especially with them going to make the playoffs, I'm going to say they're virtually a lock and everything, but officially a lock so far, they're going to start leaning on Ingram a bit more. I think maybe they start to rotate in a few other players like Dez Bryant into the offense.
Oh, boy.
But I think Kamara's still going to have a good second half. I just think
also, a viable fantasy target for this week, Dez Bryant and Cortland Sutton. I would tell you to check the waivers. Probably pick up Sutton first, but getting a piece of that Saints offense with Dez Bryant, I'm telling you, he's going to get red zone looks because they're going to double Michael Thomas, and Dez Bryant's going to be getting those fades in the corner. If Dez can make those touches, you'll see the X thrown up a lot. Okay, let's go for Matt Breida of the 49ers.
We're
talking about the 49ers because we said they'd improve the second half of the season. And I think the 49ers will actually have a decent record at the end of the year. I think though people underestimate them a little bit. I think Matt Breida is a great running back, not to mention Raheem Mostert there.
He's out for a year, though.
Yes, Raheem Mostert is out. But Matt Breida, what do you think about Matt Breida? I'm going with yay for Matt Breida.
I'm going to say A again. I'm going to say A. I think it's sustainable. He's not doing fantastic right now. Like, he's not insane, but he's not doing bad. I think he does okay. Alfred Morris will pitch in a little bit there. Occasionally, some dude off the waiver wire will make noise, but...
Okay, what do you guys think about Odell? Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yay.
I'm going nay.
Yay.
Odell Beckham will have a worst half of the season, second half of the season. Odell Beckham will be so angry at the end of the year. Eli Manning will walk out of that locker room.
See,
well, getting run after by Odell saying, I'm open.
Jacob's just salty that he didn't get Odell Beckham Jr. on his fantasy team.
I have never drafted Odell Beckham on any fantasy team.
But he's been trying to trade for him.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
I was not.
I have the trade request.
Well,
to
I wouldn't know. I'm not in the league with you.
You wouldn't know. But I would never trade for Odell Beckham unless it was a very advantageous trade for me. That offense is a terrible offense.
Good. So what you just made the point is I wouldn't make a bad trade.
Yeah. Yes.
Good for you.
Okay. Yes, Odell Beckham, don't even get him in fantasy. Pick up Dez Bryant or Cortland Sutton before you get Odell. For the price it would pay to get him, he's not worth it at all.
Do you have to pay money on your waiver wire or something?
Heck,
it's free.
No. I'm not saying. I'm saying trade for Odell. That would cost you way more than just going in.
All right.
Antonio Brown. Yay.
Hey. I'm gonna say nay. I'll be the hot take. I'll say nay. I think Antonio Brown's gonna slow down a little bit. If Le'Veon Bell comes back, I think that's gonna take touches away from him. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is ready to emerge as a premier target, and I think they both will.
I'm going yay on both of
them. Well, Antonio's already emerged, but I'm gonna say.
No, I'm saying that not emerging, I'm saying a better second half of the season.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have a better second half.
You think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have a better season than
Antonio Brown, this is obviously isn't like a case, but he was just, what was he, indicted for going 100 miles per hour?
Cited, yeah.
No one cares.
I know when your coach says, you know, if you're doing something wrong, do it 100 miles per hour, but they mean in practice, kids. They don't mean in your car. I think Antonio Brown...
Well, he must not have specified.
Antonio Brown's a little full of himself. I may not love him. He's a very talented player.
You just figured that out now?
I may not love him as a person completely. I think he's going to slow down.
You know who we do love as a person?
I swear I'm not biased.
Juju Smith-Schuster. Go follow his YouTube channel, Juju TV. That is a great look into his life.
Are we sponsored
and
by
he's
him?
A wonderful
and then he
person.
Comes on the show.
And Juju Smith-Schuster, if you ever want to come on the show,
be more than happy to have you.
If you ever listen to this, we would be ecstatic.
Does somebody's mom know
Juju Smith-Schuster? You are one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. All
right.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster will have a back in better second half of the year than Antonio Brown, but I think Antonio Brown will have a better second half than his first half. I think that
better
whole offense. I think that whole offense will have a great second half of the year. I think James Conner is going to turn into a premier starting running back in the NFL in this offense, and I think Le'Veon Bell, you will never see him in a Steelers uniform again.
I would say because Antonio Brown has been putting up solid numbers. I mean, looking at it, he's only gone over 100 yards twice, but he's got 9 touchdowns.
You will never see Le'Veon Bell in a Steelers uniform again.
That's not what we're talking about.
What? Where did that come from?
I mean, you just mentioned
James Conner.
All right, anyway, whatever. Stats, Juju Smith-Schuster has 53 catches on 78 targets, 672 yards, 2 touchdowns. Antonio Brown, 90 targets, only 51 receptions, 594 yards, but those 9 touchdowns. I think he's been... I wonder what the deal is with... I haven't watched too many Steelers games this year, I'll admit. But he's got more targets, 12 more targets than Juju Smith-Schuster, but only 51 catches. I wonder what the whole deal with that is. Is it drop? It's not drops. I don't think it would be.
No.
Maybe it's just Roethlisberger?
It's Roethlisberger.
We'll see.
And Roethlisberger can't get out of the pocket.
Fun fact, Roethlisberger this year technically has a catch. 1 reception, -1 yards.
Well,
0 touchdowns.
That's crazy. Okay, the last point he makes is the Buccaneers defense will get better on their way to the 10-6 record they will have this season, and they will make the playoffs.
Hold on, let's just
check. That is correct.
Let's just check the standings real quick.
Go ahead and check the standings, Jackson.
You don't need to. I can tell you where the Buccaneers are. They're in last.
What's the record?
3-5.
Yep. So they lose one more game for the rest of the season.
That's not what's happening.
They're going 7-1?
For the rest of the season.
Oh, my God.
Okay, didn't we already go through their schedule?
We did this on a show. You thought they were going 10-6. I thought they were going...
This is easily the Buccaneers' rest of their schedule. They're easily going 10-6. Okay. All right. When this is done, Jackson, you're in trouble. Next episode, which will be released tomorrow, we are going to have a punishment here for one of us if this doesn't happen.
What?
If what doesn't
correct.
Happen?
If the Buccaneers don't go 10-6, if the Buccaneers
don't
go 10-6,
you can't do that tomorrow.
Jackson will eat his words.
Tomorrow?
I will not.
Literally eat his words.
He can't do that tomorrow. But if the Buccaneers
No. The bet will be made tomorrow.
Hold on.
Not right now.
Okay. All right.
I'm not
doing
this right now.
I want to officiate this deal because I think it's interesting.
No. I don't need an official. This is a man mano mi mano.
Mano mi mano, but somebody's got to officiate the
bet.
Hey! We need like a board bet or something. Anyway.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're backing down. Are you super scared?
You guys want to talk about college basketball?
It's Buccaneers.
Let's talk about college basketball. Stuff going on in college basketball. Duke looked really good. What do you guys think of Duke? I think Duke looks really good.
I think that number 4 is too low for them.
I think after watching that game, number 4
I know. I thought number 4 before the game was too low. How do you get that many good recruits and be ranked number 4?
Because Gonzaga is just too good.
They suck.
Compared to Duke,
they suck. Duke will win the national championship if they keep the same energy and same focus every game.
You on the planet.
After one game? Like, you guys are that confident?
I was confident before the season.
I mean, Duke is clearly really good.
Guys, I played basketball in Minnesota.
Cool.
Trey Jones
basketball at the YMCA.
Is completely underrated. I was in the same gym as him. He is completely underrated. A good basketball player all around. And he is the 4th best player on their team.
I played basketball in the YMCA.
Cool, no one cares.
In the same gym as my dad.
Cool.
And I also agree, Trey Jones is underrated.
Okay, thank you. Have fun in the YMCA. Don't take candy from anybody.
Thanks. Dad, if you're listening, next Tuesday, pickup game. I was also really impressed by Kansas. Kansas looked good against Michigan State. And I know they let him come back at the end. But Michigan State's a great team, too. And it's definitely not as much of a statement win as that 118-84 win over Kentucky, but it's definitely a good win to start your season on.
Yep. I think the rankings, I'm going to put this out here right now. College basketball national championship March Madness, the championship game will be Nevada versus Duke.
I think you might be a little wrong there.
Well, you usually do, so...
But what do we know? Because March is mad, and nobody can predict anything that happens.
Caleb and Cody Martin, baby. These boys
know what they're doing. Oh, you learned the twins' names.
I knew their names last year when they made the run to the Sweet 16. With seven players, may I put that out there? They don't have seven players now. Plus, they have Jordan Caroline, who is balling. And this guy is great, and I think he was overrated last year. This guy is insane, okay? He's a sophomore this year. He was great in their run last year. And this guy put up 16 rebounds and 25 points in their first game. They got Caleb and Cody Martin, and now they got Jordan Caroline playing like a beast. It's over. It's over.
You know who I think I might make some noise this year? Indiana. Hear me out.
Indiana will not win the Big Ten.
Archie Miller is a really good coach. And now they've got Romeo Langford. Romeo Langford is a baller. So I think with his lead, and they've got a solid mix of talent around him, I don't know if they'll make the Big Ten, but I think they'll be at least higher than an 8 seed in this year's tournament.
I don't think they'll be top 4 in the Big Ten this season.
I think they will.
Are you sure?
Well, no, I'm not sure. It's one game.
Are you confident?
They played... Okay, yes, I'm confident.
Are you 100% confident?
I'm always confident in everything I do.
Okay.
They play my Montana State, like me, home state, baby.
Would you like me to name the teams that I think will finish ahead of them?
No.
Okay, that's cool. I'll do it anyways.
Today, Junior. Come on.
Oh, yep. It's going to be today. The teams that will finish ahead of them are Minnesota. Michigan State.
Okay, I agree with Michigan State.
Easily Michigan State. Ohio State. Wisconsin. And Purdue will be all the teams that will finish ahead of them.
Here's who I think may finish ahead of them. Or will. I think Michigan State.
Easily.
Maybe Purdue. No. I can see them being about the same
and
level
Wisconsin
as Wisconsin
and Minnesota.
No.
Disgusting. You're way too low on Minnesota. Minnesota's amazing. And
I'm not saying Minnesota's a bad team. I'm just saying I think Indiana's going to be that good this year.
Indiana will lose the first time they play Minnesota and Wisconsin. They will lose both of those games.
It's almost like Bob Knight's back.
Oh.
But no chairs are on
okay.
The
floor. Well, we'll make a little bet on that. They will lose to Minnesota, and they will lose to Wisconsin.
Well, that's too early to predict.
Oh, well.
Come on.
I'm sure you can make predictions.
In how many games? Both games?
Oh,
they
geez.
Play each other twice, do they not?
I have no idea. I have not checked their schedule. I will check Indiana.
I'm looking
basketball.
At it now, and I see that they play Wisconsin only once. And
correct.
The other one only once. I'm going to say they split those. I would say they split them. I probably have them beating Minnesota right now just because they have 6 days or 5 days off after an Ohio State game. And then they'd go play Wisconsin right after Iowa, who will probably be tough this year as well, and then go to Michigan State after. I'm going to say they'd split them, probably win the Minnesota, lose the Michigan, or lose the Wisconsin.
That's a tough prediction. I don't think that's correct at all. I am not in with that. Let me just put it out here to the viewers. I will keep it 100% real.
Cool, they will and I'll not keep it 100% accurate.
Cool. I will keep it 100% real with the viewers and just my expression, non-biased, and not stealing any information from anybody else.
Andrew Jones was back. Remember Andrew Jones from Texas who was diagnosed with leukemia?
I do, yes.
Yeah, he came back yesterday.
Fun
he
fact.
He was recovering from a broken toe, but...
Yes, and he played, I think they said like 11 minutes or 9 minutes, didn't they say? Played 11 minutes or 9 minutes, played pretty well. I believe he was a 4- or 5-star recruit coming out. He played really well last year before he got diagnosed, and that team really rallied around him. I'd like to point out a guy that I played against in Minnesota, Jericho Sims on that team, played for Christo Rey Jesuit High School in Minnesota. just an absolute beast, and that guy is unleashing his potential. He wasn't necessarily ready to be thrown into the fire the first year when he was called upon all the time, but that guy's an all-around complete player that can shoot. And I think they have a lot of bigs, and with Bamba leaving this year, he will fill that void, and I think he will be excellent in that void.
Also, Loyola Chicago's back. Love Sister Jean. What do you guys think about Sister Jean?
I mean, I love that story last year. That was amazing. March Madness, that's what you live for. I love seeing my bracket get destroyed. It's wonderful to see those kind of teams, especially the history that was in Loyola Chicago. Last season was amazing.
I'd want to go out to dinner with Sister Jean. I would go with
a Sister Jean, Jesus, and like one other person. Those would be my top three people.
Bill,
you know?
Cosby.
Yeah, no. Not Bill Cosby. Sister Jean wouldn't come then. Sister Jean wouldn't show up to the game.
I mean, that's fair. I wouldn't want to do anything with Bill Cosby.
I don't know if anybody would at this point.
Maybe I'd, like, laugh at him in jail. But that's because I'm a bad person.
All right.
What else is on the schedule? Fantasy football. We can talk some fantasy football. Jacob, I know you wanted to talk a lot of fantasy football this year, and we've kind of shut you down somewhat, but I'm going to let you go ham. This week, tell us who you think is going to perform well. This week, tell us who you think is going to underperform, and I'm going to be off in the corner relearning the English language. Go.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Aaron Jones this week will be a baller. Start Aaron Jones, everyone. Start Marquez Valdez-Scantling for the Packers. Wide receiver, Jackson had mentioned him last episode. Jackson's very high on him. Marquez Valdez-Scantling this week will be a baller. There's so many players. James Conner, obviously start him. There's just a lot of players. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you got to start him this week. No question. Fitzpatrick, I know he throws the picks, but you're trading 3 or 4 touchdowns with at least over 200 yards for 1 or 2 interceptions. You're getting 17 or more points a week. You got to start him. Some sleepers this week, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield.
Against the Falcons, bro?
Against the Falcons.
Falcons.
Blake Bortles.
Oh.
Do not start him.
Okay, thank God.
Set you all up for that. Y'all thought I would start Cody Kessler over Blake Bortles this week.
You would not.
Eli Manning.
Sit him or start him?
Start him.
Against who?
San Francisco.
Somebody tell me why.
Eli Manning will have a great week this week. I don't think the Niners can stop even the short passing game the Giants run, and I think Odell will break off a big play.
Please,
off the short pass.
Can I ask you something?
Do not ask me anything. Okay.
What do you think about Josh Rosen? Josh Rosen plays
Josh, sit Josh Rosen this week. Don't play
him. The Chiefs are the worst defensive team in football. In terms of yards against. Yeah,
they're not the worst defensive team in football.
In terms of yards against, they give up a lot of yards.
Josh Rosen will not score over 10 fantasy points this week. Hot take, sit him. Sit Matthew Stafford, I'm pretty sure, this week. You don't want a piece of that offense. Someone who's on the edge is Dak Prescott. Prescott is just, he's been a little confusing with that new weapon of Amari Cooper. And just the thing is, he's up against the Eagles. I don't think Prescott will perform well in this game. It's a hard call on Prescott this week. Side note, don't start anyone from the Raiders. For the love of all that is good and wonderful, unless they're playing a team that you think that will just be a terrible defense and they'll be able to excel in some rate. The only person you'd think about starting is Derek Carr. Other than that, just stay away from everyone else on their team. Terrible idea. Please do not do that. I would watch out for Drew Brees this week.
I watch out for him every week.
No. I don't think he'll be as good as he normally is. Drew Brees this week.
Who's he facing?
The Bengals.
What?
Yes.
I think he'll tear up the Bengals.
I think
it's your corner.
No. I don't. They will beat the Bengals by a lot, but I think it will be easy money with Kamara and Ingram. Is why because the Bengals have such a bad running defense. So I think that's how they'll punch them right in the mouth. Okay. So I'm thinking that they're just gonna. It's going to be so easy running the ball that they're just going to be like, okay, well,
please they take... They won't throw one pass for the entire game.
That is not what I'm saying.
Taysom Hill will start at quarterback more snaps than Drew Brees.
Hot take.
All right, let's move on to some running backs. Start Tevin Coleman, the new workhorse of the Atlanta Falcons backfield with Devontae Freeman being out. Start him, and I would also think about Ito Smith this week. You might want to start him this week, as that Falcons offense has been... good the past couple weeks with Tevin Coleman getting, especially if you're in PPR, Tevin Coleman is a must start running back one in PPR with the running and passing yards. If you're in PPR, Ito Smith, definitely think about starting him. If you're in non-PPR, Ito Smith is a good fill-in start for someone this week. I would look to those Falcons running backs this week against the Browns. That's a great matchup. I would start Jordan Howard this week. And I know everyone's thinking, well, Tariq Cohen's there. Well, Tariq Cohen hands a lot of the passing downs. In that case, I would say they're facing the Lions defense. And we saw how good the Lions were against the Vikings last week in their run defense.
The opposite.
Yes. I think the same thing was going to happen this week. And Jordan Howard's going to get yards. And I think I would start both of the Bears' backfield running mates in a second. If you're in PPR, Tariq Cohen's a must start this week. Jordan Howard, you got to start him this week. Now, I'm going to throw out someone who I think people don't think about as much. I'm going to throw Chris Carson's name out there. I think he'd be a good start, but the issue is he had a injury issue last week, so you have to think about Mike Davis this week. I am not as confident on Mike Davis. I think Chris Carson's a much better running back in that backfield. So I would say think about Mike Davis if Chris Carson goes down. But I think Chris Carson will make it for this week. So Chris Carson's a must start this week. You have to start him. He's been great just passing and running. And in PPR, I would say almost a must start. Just a couple of names I want to throw out there, just especially for PPR, but these are good in normal standard. Deion Lewis has been great. And just kind of an interesting thing with Derrick Henry. I thought Derrick Henry would be the workhorse there running, but Deion Lewis is getting like 10 carries a game at least, which is just interesting in that
team is try-hard Patriots. You know they'd rotate running backs.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like Mike Vrabel is like Bill Belichick's little brother. It's a 10-year-old running a football team.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to take that back because I actually really like Mike Vrabel, or Vrabel, however you say it, but... It's their Patriots light right now, and Mariota's too inconsistent.
Okay. I just like to throw out two more names. Out of the Cleveland Browns backfield, Nick Chubb is a must-start single type of league against the Falcons. He will be a workhorse in this game, and Duke Johnson is a must-start in PPR in this game, as he'll get a lot of catches out of the backfield, working Baker short in this game and testing the Falcons with their injuries and their linebacking core. I think this game is a great game to go with these two guys in this situation. Some sleepers for this week. Josh Adams' name's actually been brought up a lot for the Eagles. He had a good week last week out of their backfield. I think he'll have a good week, but Darren Sproles is coming back. So if you have Darren Sproles, start Darren Sproles. Josh Adams is a good second option, but I would wait another week on Josh Adams. See if he becomes an integral part of that offense. But I think with Darren Sproles coming back, he will not be this week. TJ Yeldon. Now, TJ Yeldon has been pretty good filling in for Leonard Fournette, but obviously we have discussed before, Carlos Hyde is now on their team, and he is going to play this week. I know Yeldon's a passing back, and he probably played most of the passing downs. I don't think Hyde will play that much. It's just kind of interesting to look at that. He's a flex option. Carlos Hyde is a start this week with Leonard Fournette not coming back.
All right. We're cutting it close on time, Jackson. I know you're a busy man. You got to get out of here soon. So before we do, I want to do two things. First, I want to highlight something we didn't talk about as much.
Just quickly. quickly, four wide receivers to start this week. Josh Gordon is a player I had down. Tyler Boyd, and I said Scantling, and then also start Jarvis Landry and Golden Tate. Those two. Start all them this week. Go ahead, Logan.
All right, we'll get the nerd out fast. The Rays got Mike Zunino from the Mariners. Malik Smith went the other way. It's a little five-player deal, but those are the main pieces. I think that's a big win-win for both sides. I think the Rays get a talented catcher, and I think the Mariners get a good center fielder who's going to let them switch D. Gordon back to second base, and then they don't have to pay that money for Nelson Cruz because they can play Robinson Cano at DH. Anyway, Crone's Corner. You ready for Crone's Corner? I'm never ready for Crone's Corner.
Jackson, are you ready for Crone's Corner?
Yeah, always.
Welcome to Crone's Corner for the week. Welcome back, everybody. I know I was just talking fantasy football, but now it's time to talk about some fun stories this week and not about depressing things like Crohn's disease. Let's talk about our first story. Skull Lover. So I was sitting at a lecture when I feel like being stared at, and in the corner of my eye, I see this really handsome guy who's literally just staring at me. I don't think much of it and continue to listen to the professor. After the lecture, the guy comes up to me and lays his hand on my head, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he stares me dead in the eyes and says, I've never seen such a gorgeous skull. And then he turns around and leaves.
To this day. That is horrifying.
That is very horrifying.
All right, I think we only have time for one more. Sorry to cut you short, but go ahead and
show. I have four.
Well, a couple years ago, we'll save two for tomorrow.
A couple years ago, my friends and I were going to see a movie in the theater at the mall. Instead of paying the ridiculous movie theater prices for pop and candy, we decided to go to Target to buy some stuff. This is when Coca-Cola started to put people's names on their bottle. My friend told me she had seen a bottle with my name on it inside this bin of Coke. I was weirdly excited since I hadn't got one with my name after it. After I bought the drink, I opened it inside Target and it exploded everywhere. The pop was at least 5 or 6 feet in diameter. I watched as people passed the mess and made looks of disgust. Imagine if I had opened it inside of the theater.
That was a bad edition of Crone's Corner.
Okay.
Depressingly, we might have an extra long one next time because I got to cut him short. All right. Sorry about such a short show. We're going to have to... we'll try better next time. We'll do a bit longer. We'll recap Thursday Night Football. We'll talk about
the weekend. I just like to apologize for that Crone's Corner. That shouldn't have been cut that short. I apologize to all the listeners. That is actually very, very... depressing, and I just like to tell you all, stay positive today.
We are
focus every day, every morning on the people you love and what you want to do for them.
Be the nice kid.
Every day, be the nice kid. Check them out, bethenicekid.com, and I would just encourage you to check out their message. Be a light in the world. There's a lot of sucks and a lot of hate in the world. I'd say to be that light and do something nice for someone every day and be a positive person. Come with a positive attitude every day. Love you guys. I love you guys so much. Keep it up. Positive attitude every day. Goodbye.
Thank you for sticking with us. I'm gonna do this on my own. No point in blaming you. You did not know. Oh.